Happy Thursday, beloveds, and welcome to day, I can't even believe it. It's like day six already of the Virtual Psychic Summit. We started on Saturday with the Psychic Power Pods on Saturday and Sunday with that full moon energy. And so it's just been nonstop love and light over here. So good morning, beloveds. I'm so blessed to have you here. And again, I'm Tanya Melendez, psychic medium, tarot life coach, the creator and host of the Virtual Psychic Summit. And I have just been having such an amazing time doing this. I really could see this being something I do in person, something I do. I mean, just, I love it. I love having this connection with everyone and us all coming together because it really does vibrate throughout your day, throughout the week. So please go into the Virtual Psychic Summit community page on Facebook and tell us, how has your week been? Let the presenters know how they're doing. Again, it's not about in them needing to know that they're a good psychic or a good medium or you learned something. It's about them knowing that their service, their sharing and their shining is having an effect in your life, because all that we do as light workers is be of service for you beloveds. And that means even for ourselves. That doesn't mean that we're all healed and we're walking around on water over here. That means that we are in this vibration too. We are all learning from each other. We are all growing together. And so as we all grow, and I might have a little more glow above someone who's just starting because I just know a little more, but that doesn't mean that I'm above you. That just means I have a little more years of practice. And that's why people become experts, because they've been doing it for so long. So beloved, what do you want to do so long that you can wake up and be so happy doing it, so blessed doing it, so grateful doing it? Because that is what you are here to be of service. That is what you're here to share. And that is what you are here to shine. You know, the sun does not give a damn if you want to be in the darkness. It's going to come up anyway, you know? So, you know, it doesn't matter what's happened before. Look at what's happened to Mother Earth. We have bombed her. We have poked her, prodded her, polluted her, and she still rotates around the sun. And the sun says, wake up, good beloved. Here I am. So that is what Holy Spirit is. It is always just inviting us to wake up, to awaken, to enlighten ourselves, to lighten ourselves up from the burdens we carry within us. And so again, if you have had an aha, if you have had a shift, that is called a miracle. And I just want to honor you and bless you. So if you've had a miracle this week, or if you feel that blessing coming on, I want you to go on over to the Facebook page and write about it. Tell us about it. Tell us what, you know, again, the presenters, we can only improve and only allow when we know we are making an impact, when we know our message is being heard. So if you have connected with someone and you've followed them on Facebook, tell them why. Tell them why you connected with them, because again, we are in this together. We are here to serve, share, and shine. And you guys, I can't believe it, but Karen Palmer brought it to my attention. Serve, share, shine, the hashtag had over a million posts. In my mind, I can't even conceive of that, but I know Holy Spirit did, so I don't have to think about it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't trying to have a million posts of serve, share, shine. I just said, let's do this, you know? So Holy Spirit is always ready for you when you are ready for her. That is what Serve, Share, Shine is all about. So I am so grateful to have you here. Again, day six. It's our last full day of the Virtual Psychic Summit. And I know it has been, again, just such a blessing. It's been an amazing, amazing energy ride, an energy blast. I totally feel high. I hope you guys are feeling that too, because, you know, being on this side, it feels so amazing to see so much shifting and changing. And that's why I want to know too. It's not my ego that wants to know, but I want to know, how can I make this better? How can I improve it? And what am I doing right? You know, these are things that for the next one, again, it's just going to get better. And beloveds, there is another one already coming up. So I thank you again, each and every one of these presenters here in the Virtual Psychic Summit for just showing up and being their beautiful selves. And then you attendees, thank you for showing up for yourself, because this is self-care. This is self-love in action. You are doing it by showing up every day, listening and wanting to connect. And you, again, if you want the replays, this is over 25 hours of spiritual practice, spiritual love, and spiritual light. You can press record, play, whatever you want, and keep it close, because that's what I do. If you guys want to listen, I'm going to try to pop in and show Virtual Psychic Summit headquarters over here, because what I listen to in between is all about Holy Spirit. I listen to crystal bowls. I keep my vibration high for you, because I could talk about being tired. I could talk about, oh my gosh, I could talk about so many things, but I don't even feel that. I don't even think about it. I don't think about, you know, the slightly cold shower I had to take this morning because my pilot light blew out, because it's a little cooler here today, because I'm happy and I already forgot about it. And it was funny because I had this thought. I said, oh, I already forgot about it. And I said, let me share that. That could have been the upset of my day, but I chose not to think about it. I chose to listen to spirit. And spirit chose to divinely guide the amazing Michael Beckwith to me this morning. I was asking for a sign from Reverend, or asking, I was speaking to Archangel Michael this morning in my prayer. And I said, okay, I feel your presence. Show me. I just said, let me know, you know, what is it for sure that I need to be paying attention to? What is it that I need to recognize right now? And so yesterday I had gotten, I don't even remember what day it was, but Ty, one of our amazing presenters, Ty Gayton, had given me a reading, and she said she got the letter Y. Well, I'm walking down the sidewalk today, and there's this branch. I'm going to have to take a picture. There's this branch from a tree. I don't even know what kind of tree, because I've never seen this type of branch. And it's a tree branch in a Y. So when I saw it, I said, aha, I see you, Archangel Michael. And so then I proceeded to get ready. And I was like, thank you for that beautiful sign. I've got this Y branch. I know it's me connecting with nature. Thank you for that beautiful sign. I knew it was a sign. And then I'm listening to my iTunes radio. I have it tuned into the Karen Drucker station, because she's just, it's all like angelic and uplifting and spiritual and gospel, beautiful music. And I'm putting on my makeup, and Quantum Quickening by Reverend Michael Beckwith, one of my favorite teachers, mentors, and friends in the whole wide world. And I haven't listened to Agape International Church in a few weeks on Sundays, because I've been doing the summit. And so when I heard Quantum Quickening come on and Reverend Michael's voice come through my iTunes, I knew that was more than just Reverend Michael coming through. That was Archangel Michael. And so I knew he was telling me to, again, give myself permission to shine, because the sun doesn't give a damn the kind of day the earth is having. The sun is going to shine. And so I'm going to shine, and I'm going to invite you to shine on, shine on, shine on. And so let's do a couple little housekeeping things. So thank you guys for letting me have my little moment there. And I just welcome you again to the Virtual Psychic Summit. Today is Thursday, and we're about to kick off our first morning mojo with amazing and beautiful spirit. That is Jamie Saloff. And she's just so amazing. She's got this connection with the divine as a Lilydale trained psychic medium, as our ordained reverend, a metaphysician, a spiritual doctor, as you will. And she has mystical messages from the universe. And so I invite her here to share, serve, and shine us her beautiful gifts. So please, please welcome beautiful Jamie Saloff. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
Hi, so welcome.
Happy. I'm so happy to be here. And I was listening to your morning startup message there, and I was thinking, I just love how you're always like right in tune, because some of what you were sharing kind of just ties right into what I'm going to be sharing later, but also just even what I write about and what I talk about. I mean, when you share about, you know, the potential we have and the dreams that we have and to go for them and that sort of thing, oh my gosh, that is just like so in tune with what I believe and who I am and what I try to encourage others to do. I want to thank you for that, for sure.
Well, thank you so much. It's really coming from my heart, and I can't just, you know, I have to share that because that's true who and what I am. And so it keeps me inspired. So I know it keeps you inspired too, right?
Absolutely. And I'm looking at my clock here, and I'm, of course, in the Eastern Standard Time, and it says 11:11, and I'm like, yes, that is just so awesome.
So, oh, yeah, you know, I love when that happens. That's so awesome. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know, we talk about, you know, signs and signals, and you were talking about the why in the tree, and, I mean, I really pick up on that kind of stuff all the time, too. So definitely pay attention to those kinds of things.
Well, Jamie, I'm so excited to have you here. So why don't you tell our attendees and everyone who you are and how you got here and what are you going to share with us today? Because, again, this is the Morning Mojo, and I know you've got some amazing and marvelous messages from the universe to share with us. So please share with us.
Well, who I am and how I got here, my goodness. Well, I've written a book about that, so we won't go into that in too much detail right now. But I would like to say that how I got here on the Virtual Psychic Summit just seemed like it was so synchronistic, and that's something I'm going to be talking about in a little bit. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you say, okay, you know, I'm ready to put myself out there, or you take that first step, or you set an intention, and then boom, like doors open. And that's how I got here on the summit. It was just like I had kind of stepped back for a couple of years and was not really presenting live or even on air very much, because I was just kind of, I think, going through my own kind of metamorphosis or transformation. And I think going up to another level, I guess I want to say, I don't want to put too much emphasis on that. It's just that I just felt like I was growing in some way, you know. And who I am, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just a person. I'm just a person like anybody else. But let me frame it in this way, because one of the things that I wanted to talk about before, what I want to tell you about is the seven earth angels who saved my life despite my objections. But before I talk about that, one of the things I wanted to talk about was pain and healing. And that's kind of how I got here, is that, you know, I had suffered through some amazing challenges. I want to call them amazing challenges, because I see at 24, I nearly bled to death. At 25, I was diagnosed with cancer. At 26, I nearly died in childbirth. I was in a car accident. My son witnessed was in part of one of the school shootings. We've had all kinds of death in our family. And yet I'm still here. And, you know, I talk about in one of my books, I talk about divine providence. And I talk about how if you're still here, you still have something important to share. And even though, you know, you may have suffered from pain, you may have suffered, you may have struggled even now or previously, you know, through difficult life challenges. You know, I see pain in three different ways. There's physical pain, you know, from illness or injury or disease, or, you know, like what I call a disorder. And, you know, so that's a physical pain. And there's many, many people out there who are suffering in some way or have suffered in some way because of that. Heartache, I think, is another tremendous pain. And we suffer from that when we lose a loved one, or if a relationship breaks up, or, I mean, there's so many ways that our heart can just literally feel like it's breaking. I mean, obviously it isn't, but it just, it aches inside of us so tremendously that at times we can't even move forward. We're just totally stopped in our tracks because of that. And the other kind of pain that I recognize is mental anguish. And a lot of times that can stem, you know, just from worry or from stress or strife. And it can also become such a heavy, heavy burden on us. And so I just want to acknowledge those kinds of pain, because I have learned so much from pain. And I've learned that a lot of times where it hurts isn't always where the real pain is. A lot of times where the pain is in our life shows up in our body in different ways. And, you know, one of my books is The Marvelous Messages Hidden in Pain, Injury, Disease, and Afflictions. And so one of the things that I do is I talk about how to transform that pain into a positive message or a positive course of action. And I find that pain often transforms the part of our life that we're afraid to touch. You know, a lot of times when I work with clients in my sessions, they are absolutely shocked at how quickly I can find their baggage, their pain baggage. And in fact, I will sometimes tell people, if you don't want to release that baggage, don't work with me on that, because I mean, it will really come up really quick. It really will. And then as we start to work through that, we start to realize that that pain echoes back to, like a physical pain may echo back to a life challenge that you're struggling with, or something that you've put off. And I find probably 75% of the time, if not more, the person I'm working with already knew. They already knew what that challenge was, and they put off taking care of it. They didn't want to deal with something that's messy, or they didn't want to deal with something that's challenging. Or, you know, sometimes we prefer to be uncomfortable because we know how to deal with that discomfort. We know how to take care of that. And stepping out into something new, we don't know how that will be. And so sometimes it's just safer. And so we don't deal with those challenges. And so I see time and time again where those challenges show up as messages in our body with pain of some sort. So I want you to see that pain can be a good thing. And one of the silly examples that I love to use, and I've used this a lot of times, so if you've heard me tell this one before, I apologize. But one of my favorite ones is that I get this, occasionally I'll get this little lump on the joint in my thumb. And it just kind of aches, you know, kind of like tendonitis or arthritis or that sort of thing, you know. And you'll be like, "Oh, what is that?" And as I go through the process that I do with my marvelous messages, I'll be like, "Wow, what is that?" And it'll be, you know, it's kind of like a bone spur. And I'll be like, "A bone spur." And then as I go in deeper, I'll go, "Oh, very funny, you know, spirit. You're spurring me on. You're telling me and encouraging me to keep going." And I'll be like, I don't really need you to give me this pain right now to tell me that, but thank you." And usually after I acknowledge that, it will go away. If not instantly, like usually by the next day, I'll have forgotten all about it. So that just, you know, shows up every once in a while. I'll be like, "Yes, yes, thank you. You're spurring me on. You know, thanks." But even having cancer or some of the other challenges I've faced, I find that as I seek it out and try to understand on a deeper level what that has meant to me, that I find that pain is a positive thing, and a new hope, a transformation. I always say that wherever you find an ending, there's got to be, there always is, a new beginning. So even though some of the challenges we face are tremendously painful to our heart or painful to our soul, if it's an ending, it's always, there's got to be a new beginning as well. And that's a good thing. You know, it's, you can look at, for example, a dandelion, and, you know, it grows up from a seed, and oh my gosh, you know, you got those yellow flowers everywhere. And then as it begins to die, what happens, right? It goes to seed. Those seeds then blow off into the wind, and that's regeneration for that plant. And its soul message goes out to, you know, other parts of the land, and it shares that. So its death has then become a new beginning for other people or other plants or other things in our life to happen. And I see so many times people who have gone through tremendously heart-wrenching, difficult life challenges, and then, you know, from that they maybe built a foundation or a charity that, you know, helps other people who have gone through that. You see that so many times, and so I just want to encourage you in that way about pain. And and as I go in and tell you more about my seven angel story, so I just wanted to touch on that. I just really felt like I needed to let you all know that there is hope out there. There is, the days do get better. I mean, at one point after my car accident, I was in tremendous pain, and the attorneys asked me to keep a daily diary of my pain. And I began to realize that that was probably the worst thing that I could ever do, because every morning I was sitting there writing, I am in tremendous pain, this, you know, and just, it just made it worse. It just made it so much worse. And as I began to stop doing that, it started getting so much better. But as I was going through that, you know, whenever you go through something really difficult, there are times when you think, how can I ever get through this? I can't even go another day. I can't take another step. I just always told myself, wait one more day, wait one more day. You know, today's really difficult. You know, I get it. Today is really difficult. Just wait one more day. And the other thing that my husband and I always joke about is he had tremendous back surgery. You know, imagine his spine, we'll call him almost breaking in half. And so they put in all kinds of bolts and metal and packed that all back together so that, you know, fused it so that it would be remain whole. And it was a really difficult challenge for me to have him in bed for 4 months and watch him recover and to go through all of that. And we said, but thank goodness, we both had our moments where, you know, it was just really difficult for us, but we didn't have it at the same time. If we'd ever had our moments at the same time, everything probably would have broken apart and fallen apart, but we didn't have our moments at the same time. So when I would have a moment where I would just be, I have to take a walk, or I have to get out of this, or, you know, he'd be like, fine, go, you know, do that. And then sometimes he'd have a moment, I'd be like, it's okay, you know, we can get through this. So we always supported each other. So I just want to check real quick in the chat room, because I see, you know, all of these messages going by, and I just want to check real quick and make sure I'm not missing anything important. So yes, you know, there were, Ty was affirming about the pain journal too, you know, and again, that was like the worst thing that I ever had to do, because it just made all of the pain worse. It made all of the pain more focused in my mind. And so I do not recommend that you ever do that. but let me start telling you a little bit about these seven angels who saved my life despite my objections. And I wanted to tell you that, you know, one of the books I wrote is called Transformational Healing. And in that book, there's five keys to healing. And so I want to share with you what those five keys are so that you can try to identify them as I am talking about these seven angels. I want you to try to find these five keys as I go along, and I'll try to point them out too. But the five keys to healing are relief. Because I find that if you're in tremendous pain, that's not the time usually when you want to analyze and think about, well, what does this all mean? Sometimes when you're in tremendous pain, what you want more than anything is to just be out of pain. So relief, I think, is a very big key. And I find that even if you can get a few moments of relief, that can give you a chance to take another step and go forward. The second one is commitment. And I find, you know, if you're not committed to making your life better or getting out of pain or finding your dream or just bettering yourself or answering the call of spirit within you until you make that commitment that you're willing to do it. It's just a wish and a hope. And when you make that commitment and actually step into it, that's when things really start to change, and they can start to change really fast. I mean, it will just blow your mind at how fast, you know, things that you deeply desire in your heart can happen when you make that commitment. The third one I feel that is really important is goals or desires. And I know some people disagree with that, and that's okay. That's their opinion. But I find that if you have a goal or a desire, you know, I believe that our heart calls out with what I say is a two-word goal or desire. And usually it's something like to dance, to sing, to paint, to write, to build, to teach. Mine calls out to teach all the time. And I find from that two words, it's just sort of like, you know, kind of beats in time with your heartbeat. And it, even if you try to squelch it or push it down or make it go away, it's still there, and it still, you know, pops up and says, you know, kind of like tugging on your shoulder or on your shirt sleeve, you know, like a child to its mother, you know, mom, you know, I want to teach, I want to dance. And it just never goes away. And if you follow that, then there's like another layer that comes upon that. So then it's like, if it's to teach, you know, maybe it's to teach little children to paint. Maybe it's to build an organization that helps people in need of food. Maybe it is that you are called to paint, and you know, you want to take that art and help senior citizens. So I feel like there's always like a second layer that goes on that guides you and directs you. And as you step into that and follow into that, you know, again, more and more doors will open, and more clarity will come to you. A lot of times we're not really sure, you know, what to do or how to do it, or if it's even possible. A lot of times it feels like it's totally impossible. So as you step into it, that will open up for you. I think that the next one is, the next healing key is connection to the divine, connection to your higher self. And when you break off that connection, you feel so alone and you feel like there's no hope. And it's when you have that connection that not only do you begin to feel inspired and encouraged, that's when marvelous signs start showing up all around you and guiding you and helping you and showing you the way to do that thing that you don't know how to do. And the last, of course, for me is synchronicity, because again, as you step into those things, it's just amazing how your life will just open up like a giant stage door. And then all of a sudden, you know, there you are, front and center, and the resources you need come to you, the money you need comes to you, the people you need to teach you show up. And so just be looking for those five keys as I tell you this about my seven angels. And they are, again, release, commitment, goals, connection, and synchronicity. And I talk about those in depth again in my transformational healing book. You can learn more about that over on my website, marvelousmessages.com. You can learn more about my book, or you can find it on Amazon or any of those places as well. Excuse me. And I want to let you know, too, that on my Marvelous Messages website, I just recently started what I call my gems list. And I look out at all my fans and all my readers and all of my clients, and I think of them as gems. And I wanted something, you know, to be able to give back something to them. So gems actually stands for gifts, events, and messages from spirit. If you get on that list, you can get lots of good gems from me, because you are a gem. So I wanted to remind you about that. And before I forget to, I'm supposed to give you my special word for the word challenge. And my word is, of course, marvelous, because that goes with my Marvelous Messages website and book. So marvelous is the word that you need for the clue game on that. So let me get into these seven earth angels. So this, as I started thinking about this, I just was re-amazed myself, even though I had lived this and I've thought about it and wrote about it. And so I wanted to start out by saying that this whole thing came about because of my need for release. My female parts, I don't think, ever worked right. And I had so many problems in my life because of that. And I don't want to go into the gory details about the whole thing, but it was just a problem from the very start, and never really cooperated with how it was supposed to work. And so I sought out relief, and it became apparent that I was going to need some surgery. And I decided that because of that, and because I also had low self-esteem at the time, and I'm going to explain a little more about that in a moment because it's really important to the story, but I decided to have this surgery. And the first thing that immediately happened, remember I said when you step into something and you make a commitment, make a decision, things start happening. So the signs and wonders started showing up. And at the time I was homeschooling my youngest son, and we were reading one of the Harry Potter books about the phoenix. And I can't remember the exact title, but I just remember it was the one with the phoenix in it. And the phoenix in that story is called Fox. And of course, if you know about the phoenix, it bursts into flames and dies, and then it rises again from the ashes as if it was new. So we're reading about this, and I didn't really pick up on it at first, but I mean, the whole book kind of talks about this phoenix bird. And at one point, I had been reading to my son this story, and I went downstairs and I wanted to ask my husband a question. And he is a big eBay fan. He is an eBay king. So he's on there and he's looking at a huge charger. And I look at it and I say, my goodness, that's a phoenix. And he said, you knew that. We own one of these. And I'm like, we do? And he said, yeah, it's up on the bookcase, you know, in the other room, but we own one. And I said, I never realized that was a phoenix. I said, I knew it was some kind of stylized bird, but I never realized it was a phoenix. And he was like, yeah, it's a phoenix. Then, you know, a few days later, you know, two or three days later, and this is still pre-surgery, we went to one of those big box pet stores, you know, and that's one of those stores where they welcome you to bring your pet in. And of course, so you walk in there and there's kind of like a dog barking in the background and you hear cats, you know, meowing sometimes. And I don't know, I always feel kind of uncomfortable in there because they're huge and large and just, you know, like the bags of food are so large and I'm just a little small 5'2" thing. So, you know, it seems like everything is oversized in there. So I usually try to run in and run out. And I happen to notice that there's a woman walking down the aisle. And in her grocery cart, in the place where you might place a child, she had the most beautiful peacock. It was the most beautiful peacock pillow I had ever seen in my life. And I thought, that peacock is so beautiful. I don't know where she got that pillow, but I have to go find that. You know, I'm going to go search the aisles until I find it, because that is just so beautiful. And to me, a peacock is a live version of a mythical phoenix. So, but I didn't make the connection just yet. But, you know, I was like, I saw that and I was like, oh, it's so beautiful. I mean, it just struck me. I mean, I always feel like signs and wonders, you just gravitate to them or pulled to them, if you know what I mean. So I, you know, walk closer to her and all of a sudden I realize it's not a pillow. It's a live bird. She has a live peacock in her grocery cart. She has brought her pet to the pet store. And I mean, when does that happen? When do you see a live peacock in a grocery cart? I mean, if that's not a sign and a wonder, I mean, what is? You know what I'm saying? So I was just amazed by that. And so that was like the third hit. I always feel like things come in threes. That was a third hit. And I was like, this means something. This definitely means something. And I always, you know, talking about angels, angels are wonderful at synthesizing our messages, our dreams, and our signs and wonders. If we don't know what they mean, they will, you know, help us find those meanings if we just ask. But in this case, I had a pretty good idea that something miraculous was going to come out of this surgery. So we leave on the morning of the surgery, we're leaving the house, and I put my hand on the door before he opens it. And I said, before we go, I just want you to know, if anything happens to me, keep talking to me, even if I can't answer. And he said, I don't even want to talk about anything like that. And he opened the door and we went out. And I said, no, I really want you to know, if anything happens to me, you know, just keep talking to me. I'm going to be okay. I knew that because that's the sign of the phoenix rising from the ashes. So I had the surgery. Everything went fine. I woke up, hubby sitting there, you know, flowers on the table. And no strange things happened, right? I'm still here, nothing, you know, so I'm sure he thought I was crazy. And then that was that day. He went home, night fell, you know, and the worst thing about surgery is you feel kind of uncomfortable, but, you know, you've got surgical site, you have needles in your arm, you've got, you know, a bed that feels like rocks, you know, there's noises in the hall, you can't sleep. And, but, you know, other than that, I felt fine. I felt absolutely fine. And I went to sleep, woke up. And the next morning, a nurse walked in, took one look at me and said, you're not well. And she ran out of the room. And that's never good. That's never a good sign when a nurse runs out of the room. And I feel like that nurse was one of my angels. I don't know, you know, I am not a nurse, so I don't know what their training is. But I do know that something triggered her to know right away that I needed urgent help. I didn't feel bad. I don't know that I looked bad, but something about me, she knew immediately that something was wrong. And the next thing I know, I am laying in like a CAT scan tube. And the only thing that I can tell you about that moment is that I felt kind of like a wet noodle. And what was happening was I was bleeding to death internally. And what happens is your senses are heightened. And so I could hear things that I shouldn't be able to hear, you know, like all, you know, down the hall and around the room. And I could sense things that I probably normally would not have sensed. But I'm laying there in total acceptance of my circumstances, and I can hear the nurse on the phone calling my husband saying, you need to get here right away. Your wife is dying. You know, and I think that normally that's the kind of thing that they wouldn't tell the patient. But I don't think she realized that I could hear her because she wasn't directly in the same room with me. And so I knew I was dying. And the weird thing is, because of the state I was in, I had no connection to any emotion. I had no fear. I was not in any pain. I didn't have any desire to get up and run away. I mean, I knew I was in good hands. And it was kind of like Spock logic took over. And I started thinking, well, if this is it, you know, maybe I should, you know, do a quick review of my life. You know, I don't know what's going to happen on the other side. So I better figure out, you know, better do a quick life review. And I had read many, many, many NDE books because I had had a near-death experience before and had read every book I could get my hands on this topic. So I was like, okay, well, according to Danny and Brinkley, I'm going to have a life review. So why don't I review my life and figure out, you know, if there's anything I should feel bad about or regret. And the one thing that kept coming back to me was that I had never written my book on healing. I had wanted to write the transformational healing book. I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but I had never written it. And that was my greatest regret at that moment. I mean, here I am, I'm dying, I have my two sons to think about, my husband, so many other obligations and attachments. And the only thing I could think about at that moment was, I didn't write my book. That's my one regret. I wanted to write that book, and I had tried. I had tried and tried and tried. And no matter how hard I tried, it just didn't seem right to me. I think I had at that point maybe 13 versions in my drawer. I mean, it just never seemed right to me. So the last thing I remember is them wrapping me up in this warm blanket. They warmed the blankets up, and I was laying on a surgical table, and they wrapped me up in a warm blanket. And I'll tell you, that is miraculous when you're in surgery and it's kind of cold and stark in there, and to have that warm blanket wrapped around you is just amazing. And the next thing that happened was my two doctors stepped in, and they saved my life. To me, they were angels, because they did not know at that time that they could save my life. And I had two doctors. And remember, I told you a little bit earlier, I had at that time, I was really low self-esteem. And I had this situation where, because of surgeries and because of giving birth, like a lot of women, I had this kind of ugly roll on my front. And at one point, I had told my husband about this, and he said, if that really bothers you that much, he said, it doesn't bother me. I love you just as you are, which, I mean, how wonderful is that, right? But I was like, it really bothers me. And so we went and we had talked to a plastic surgeon and about getting that taken care of. But the problem was, because that's elective surgery, insurance doesn't cover that. So as things went down the road, then I ended up in the gynecologist's office, and we decided I was going to have this hysterectomy. And I said, "Well, while you're in there, can you just lop off some of that skin?" And he was like, "Oh, no, I can't do that." And I said, "Well, this is probably a crazy idea. And so, hey, do not ever be afraid to talk to speak up about your crazy ideas." Because I said to him, "This is probably a crazy idea, but I've recently talked to a plastic surgeon. Is there any way that you could kind of do this in tandem?" And he kind of looked at me like I had lost my mind, and but then something about it, he must have intrigued him, and one thing led to another. And so I had both of these doctors, a plastic surgeon and a gynecologist, in on this, both the first surgery, which is what I call my first hysterectomy. And then the amazing thing, and this is why I feel like they were angels, is that when they rushed me back in, the gynecologist called the plastic surgeon and said, "We're going back in. Do you want to come back in, or do you want me to just take care of it?" And the plastic surgeon said, "I'll be there. I will get there, and I'll be there as soon as I can." And to me, that just meant that, I mean, I didn't even know any of this was going on at that time, because I was already out. But that, I feel like that level of care and concern, that level of dedication to their job, their promise that they made as doctors, that carried over into that operating room, and that made a difference, I think, as to one of the things that saved my life. But then, even still, they did not think I was going to make it. They told my husband I was dying. They told him that my organs were shutting down, and that when my kidneys shut down, I would be gone. And they had given me 8 units of blood. Now, I don't know, where you draw the line is, how much blood you can lose. I do know that that's a lot of blood to lose. And so I was then in a coma for the next 3 days. And when I woke up, my husband was sitting there. I was in ICU. I could not speak. I had a tube down my throat. And the first thing I did was grab my husband's hand and start writing letters, making words in his hand. And he started answering my questions, what happened, why am I here, and he answered all of that. And he was an angel to me. His prayers are so powerful. I mean, talk about a connection to God. When that man prays, he must have really put his heart out, because there I was, you know, waking up and writing. I didn't have any paper, but I was writing, you know. And I think when, you know, I came back, I brought with me that commitment to finally write that book, although it took me another 5 years before I did. But he was such an angel, because, you know, one of the traits of angels is they don't need any rest. And here he was managing the house. You know, he had to take care of the laundry, the cooking, the grocery shopping, basic cleaning. We had two sons who at that time were both, my youngest son was homeschooled at the time. My older son was not yet being homeschooled, but he had a job. So, you know, like he would go to school and drop the kids at school, or my son at school. He would drop my other son at his job. You know, I mean, there's all of this logistics going on. And yet there he was sitting there at my side when I woke up. There he was helping me at every turn. If that's not an angel, I don't know what is. And, you know, one of the things that I always remember is I was finally taken down to a room, and he brought me a huge chocolate-covered pretzel stick. And it was just decadent chocolate. It was just awesome. And it was kind of like the love token. And I've always remembered that pretzel stick. And I felt so bad because, you know, having been out cold and not having eaten anything for so many days, I couldn't eat it. But I think I took like one bite and I said, well, I'll eat the rest later, you know. But it was such a wonderful token and something that I have never forgotten. And as I recuperated, you know, I was really frustrated. And I said, you know, in the beginning that these angels saved my life despite my objection. And what happened is when I came out of that, I didn't really want to be there. I was very depressed. I had no energy. I had a lot of obligations that had fallen by the wayside. I was very fortunate that I had a friend. Her name was Lisa, and she was a nurse. And all throughout the whole ordeal, she was there for me. She called me. She called my family. She answered questions that, you know, they might not have gotten, you know, from the medical staff. And she was there for me, even though now she lived in Florida and I'm in Pennsylvania. So she wasn't at the house, but she called and called and called. I don't know what her phone bill must have been like at that time, but she was like another one of those angels. And but I was frustrated, and I had no energy. And I remember going to the doctor at the 2 week point and complaining. And he said, my goodness, you know, you could be dead and you're complaining. And here you are, you know, walking around. You know, and I was like, but I have all these things to do. Here I was the organizer for a writer's conference to be held in Virginia. And I was slated to be there 6 weeks to the day from my surgery. And I was the main person to take care of everything for this thing. And yet I just couldn't get my enthusiasm back up. I mean, I would peel potatoes and I would have to lay down, you know. It's like, and this fellow who was in charge of this writing conference, this writing mentor of mine, and I had been working with him for many years, got on the phone with me and talk about an angel, talk about, you know, angels are messengers. And he said, I want you to understand that you came here for a reason. You have a mission, you have a purpose. And I'm not going to do it for you. I already have my own mission, my own purpose. I can't do yours for you. And there's already so many other people that, you know, have bailed on their purpose or did not fulfill their highest calling. And I can't take on yours. You have to do that. And I don't know if for anybody else that would have been the right message, but for me, that was a turning point. And I want you to know that 6 weeks to the day, we drove 8 hours to Virginia Beach, and I ran that conference. I had my husband's help, thank God, because I couldn't have done it without him. But that from that moment on, everything got better. Everything got brighter. And so even though I had gone through that period where I didn't want to be here, I was like, I want to be back in heaven, you know, and that was a turning point for me, and I have never looked back since. I, of course, eventually did write my book. I have now written 7 books. I'm working on number 8. And so I want to encourage you, keep going. Oh, there's always one more step forward. There's always hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. I mean, my husband must have, I remember at one point my husband said that they had taken him into a boardroom and asked him a lot of questions because I had been a former cancer patient. You know, they wondered if there was some connection to that, and they asked him all sorts of questions. But they said, she's dying. She's not going to make it. And he said, you don't know her. She's going to make it. She's going to pull through. And he has never reckoned back to the fact that I told him that, something was going to happen. He's never, acknowledged that I told him that it was going to happen. But I did. I told him, keep talking to me. And he did. He was there for me. I need to do a couple more housekeeping things. Again, I want to remind you about my gems list on marvelousmessages.com. And I'm going to tell you a secret that nobody knows yet, but I'm going to be offering a 50% off my services through the gems list in the next week coming. And I've never done that before. So, if you get on that gems list, you'll be able to have a session with me for 50% off. I wanted to tell you about that. I want to remind you again about the marvelous word for the clue game. Marvelous is my word. And also make sure and get a raffle ticket or a VIP pass if you haven't already, because my marvelous messages, the Marvelous Messages Hidden in Pain, Injury, and Afflictions book, that is hot off the press, and I have sent one of those to Tanya to be in the swag bag. So if you want to get a chance at that, make sure and get a raffle ticket or a VIP pass. Tanya, what else do we have? Oh, Karen Palmer is up next. Thanks for reminding me, Karen. And so you want to make sure and stay tuned for her. What else am I forgetting, Tanya?
Oh, no, I think you've done a wonderful job, beloved. I think you've wrapped it all up beautifully. Oh, wow. I can't even tell you. You didn't share the depth of your story like that in our previous virtual psychic summit. So I know it touched so many people because, man, near-death experience. And when I think about how we have near-death experiences almost all the time, for me, it was being, it was letting go of alcohol. I've shared this story many times that, I just realized that I could not have any poison in my body or any meat or anything like that to be who I wanted to be in the world and being of service. And so you had to go through that physical pain. I had to go through emotional, and we all have our, whatever that is, that story that pushes us, because pain pushes us until vision pulls us. That is actually from Reverend Michael Beckwith, because we get, pain will push us only so far. It's vision that pulls you forward, or suffering
That's
that
awesome.
Pulls you backwards, suffering will pull you backwards. So, thank you for sharing that, because that was so inspiring and so heartfelt and so like, wow, the amazement even of the body, what the body can do to repair
That's
itself.
Right.
Again, it's just like Mother Earth. We have this amazing body that heals itself through traumatic experience. And we are actually in control of all of that. So thank you for sharing your health journey, your body journey, your inspiring story, and your all of it. So I'm so grateful to have you here and again and sharing and serving and shining your light. Jamie, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
So a couple of housekeeping things. Jamie, you could go ahead and mute yourself.
I'm sure she'll figure it out in a second and come right back. Tanya.
Uh-oh, I must have pressed
there
mute
you go.
Instead of unmute. I'm sorry, you guys. I pressed mute instead of unmute. So I was just running down the schedule really fast. I'm sorry about that. Okay, I must have pressed the wrong button. So let me run down the schedule. So first things first, we've got Karen Palmer coming up, and then we've got Anna Mariah for Psychic Power Hour at 2. Natalie DiPorto kicks off our evening enchantment, and then followed up our last evening enchantment is with beautiful Lynn Cockrum Murphy. So you don't want to miss tonight, our last full day of this virtual psychic summit. So again, thank you, Jamie, for being here. Thank you, everyone. Let's pop on over there and share some love and some service and shine with Karen Palmer. I'll catch you guys in the next session. Thank you so much for being here again, and I'll see you soon, beloveds. Peace and blessings.